Greet you in Jesus' name this evening. It's good to be here, to be in your church and your assembly. I would probably rather be sitting back there than standing up here. But I want to allow myself to be used of God where he puts me. And so I've been in your area here once before. And that was in 2010 when you had the fellowship meetings here. But I have never been in your church here before. And so it's it's about time. And it's good to be here. This evening, the path of long-suffering. And as Brother Clayton was talking, the Spirit takes us. And he tells us where to go, but he doesn't tell us what we'll find until we get there. And so it is with suffering. We know, the Word tells us that we will suffer as his children. We will suffer. But we don't know what that is until we're in it. And it is meant to mold and shape us. We can either allow it to, or we can fight it and not be molded and shaped as God would have us. And so we can become better people by the suffering and grow this fruit of long suffering, or we can become bitter people from suffering. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering, and so that is allowing the Spirit to make us better people by the things that we suffer. The path of long-suffering, Brother Clayton read this verse, Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then verse 22, I think it is, the fruit of the Spirit is, and it has a list, and long-suffering is in there. Against such there is no law. There is no law against gaining this fruit of long-suffering. Now, we talked a little bit already about what long-suffering is. But sometimes I wonder if some of us get the idea that we need to go around, or that long-suffering is going around and letting everybody see how much we have suffered, and telling anyone that will listen how terribly I have suffered, all the mean and hurtful things and the circumstances that have been done to me. We think maybe that's long-suffering because we feel like we've suffered long and people need to know it. But that's not long-suffering, that's bitterness. Rather, long-suffering is living with a peace and serenity evident on our face and a loving disposition in spite of, or maybe because of, the things that I have suffered. And people notice that, and they say, this person is is such a loving, calm person. And somebody else will come along, and they will know this person. They'll say, this suffering is what has caused them to be that kind of a person. A lot of times, long-suffering is... The person that is a really long-suffering person that has this spirit fruit often doesn't really realize that he has it, I don't think. It's kind of like humility or wisdom. Strong's definition for long-suffering is that, as the word is found in Galatians 5, is longanimity is the first word. And I don't know, maybe that's a new word to you too, like it was to me. I had no idea what that word meant. But it's also forbearance or fortitude, or patience. Longanimity is simply a disposition to bear injuries patiently. Forbearance is the quality of someone who is patient and able to deal with a difficult person or situation without becoming angry. Charles Spurgeon said, "Cultivate forbearance till your heart yields a fine crop of it. Pray for a short memory as to all unkindness." And I've heard people say already that they remember the hurtful things that were done to them so that they can remember not to do the same things to others. But I think we can remember the lesson and forget the unkindness. Just thought of an illustration of that. I don't know how many of you would have known Brother Jess Peachy, but at his funeral, one of his boys, David Peachy, talked about how when David's left the Baytree Church, there was some hard things said, some unkind things said. And he went back to his dad some years later and made that right and said, "Dad, I'm sorry for those unkind things and those difficult things." And he said, Jess looked at him and he said, "I remember there was some stress over that time," but he said, I don't remember what it all was. And beautiful example of forgiveness and long-suffering there. Fortitude is mental strength and courage that allows someone to face danger or pain, etc. I had a 1993 Webster's Dictionary, and it said for long-suffering, it said long and patient endurance of offense. And my new app on my phone, Webster's app, doesn't even have the word in it. The word long-suffering is not in that dictionary. So it's not a common word today. It's a word that is obviously going out of use. But as we look at God's word and we understand what it says, we want to keep using it. I want to first of all look at the long-suffering of God. The Bible talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 3. You can turn to that if you like. We'll read verses 8 to 20 in 1 Peter 3. "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was up preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water." Long-suffering of God. It says, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was up preparing. And I think maybe we need to understand verse 19. Some people would teach that Jesus went down to hell to preach to the spirits there, and I guess I don't believe that. It's talking here about Noah preaching to the people. Noah, preacher of righteousness, for 120 years while the ark was in building. And according to Adam Clark, there's ancient manuscripts that would have worded it like this: by which he came spiritually and preached to them that were in prison. That's maybe a little bit off subject, but I thought it was important in establishing who God was long-suffering with. Preach to those that were in the prison of sin. Noah did. Makes it obvious that it was the people of the antediluvian world. And God didn't need to be long-suffering with those people. He could have just killed them instantly. But he loved them, and he wanted to see them turn from their evil ways. It was his compassion and mercy that made him long-suffering, and that is what God's long-suffering is. It is for our good, to give us opportunity to turn to him. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God there talks also about God's long-suffering. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Reminds us very much of 1 Peter there. It talks about Noah, that God was long-suffering there and waited in the days of Noah while the ark was up preparing. So he is today, waiting and being long-suffering, patient with people that are sinful and that are not turning to him, but he continues to give them opportunity. But it says, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's the long-suffering of God. Then the example of the long-suffering of Christ while he was here on earth. John chapter 1. Verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The world knew him not, even though it was made by him. He was in the world, and the world knew him not, or the people in the world, they didn't know him. They were made by him, but they didn't know him. And it says his own received him not. The world didn't know him, and his own received him not. And when your own don't receive you, these were Jesus' people. He was a Jew like the rest of them, and they didn't receive him. Jews as a whole today still don't receive him. I know of one person in our area that is a Jewish Christian. I've met him a few times. But I had someone in my shop this winter. He needed a place to work on his motorhome, and he was in there working. And I had the CAM rapid response trailer parked in my yard, and he saw it. And he asked questions about it. He wondered what we do and whether we take training. And I told him that we go out when there's a natural disaster, and we'll try to help where we can, help people as quickly as we can, But I said our main concern, our main thing is to show the love of Christ, to show Christ to them. And he just kind of shook his head and he said, "You've lost me." He said, "I'm a Jew." And I talked to him about it later. I said, "We believe Jesus is the Messiah that the Jews are looking for." And he said, "Well, we think you guys jumped the gun. We're still waiting for the Messiah to come." And it was kind of sad to think about that, to somebody completely rejecting. And he said, I'm getting older." He said, "You won't change my mind." And I thought of that. He's getting older. He's going to find out sometime soon who the Messiah really is. And the Messiah has been here calling him. And so that was one of Jesus' own people. It was a Jew, and he's rejecting him, the long suffering of Christ. Matthew 27, I'd like to look a little bit at the suffering of Christ in his trial and crucifixion. We'll read some verses here and there in Matthew 27, 11 to 14. "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou sayest.' And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, 'Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?' And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly." And verse 26 to 31. "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the rope off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him." Before Pilate there earlier, being questioned, and he answered him not a word. And then in 26 to 31, he is abused by the soldiers. So he's been rejected by his own people. Now he's being abused by Roman soldiers. And he had false accusations there before Pilate. And then 32 to 44. "And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.' And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God.' The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth." Here he's on the cross, suffering, and he's being mocked. And just two more verses in Luke 23. Verses 33 and 34. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. I think there we have the greatest example of long-suffering. Rejected by his people, mocked by the soldiers and abused by them, nailed to the cross, hanging there with the nails through his hands and feet, having to push himself up with his feet and pull himself up with his hands as the nails bit into them in order to breathe. And like I said, the mental agony of being rejected by his people and bearing the sins of the world. Think of Jesus in the garden and great drops of sweat like blood falling off of him. I don't know what was all happening there, but it was more than the fact of that he would be nailed to the cross and suffered there. He was going to be bearing the sins of the world, and I don't understand all that, but there was more there than just the cross facing him. And the mocking that we read about in Matthew. And yet in the midst of all that, to ask the Father to forgive the people, to have a forgiving heart. Long-suffering is not only patience, but it is forgiveness. And long-suffering has to come from a heart of love. And long-suffering has to be a fruit of the Spirit, as we're looking at. In order to have Holy Spirit and to produce his fruit, we must experience a new birth. We must be born again and have a heart of flesh put within us, and then God gives the Holy Spirit to those. Okay, I have here six steps then on the path of long suffering. That's what I've named it because of the name of the title. One is approving ourselves, walking worthy, availing ourselves of his glorious power, putting on this fruit as the elect, and learning it as we spread the gospel, and then the reward. So, 2 Corinthians 6, approving ourselves. Now, that's maybe not a very good title because we cannot approve ourselves. But in light of what we just said, that the Holy Spirit within, and that is the wording that is here in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 3 to 13. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Approving ourselves as the ministers of God by long-suffering, it says. But it says also by many other things. By pureness, by knowledge, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. In some things, in patience, in afflictions, and necessities and distresses. Sounds like mostly suffering to me, approving ourselves in suffering and being patient in that and growing this fruit of long-suffering. And then in the end there we have these paradoxes. As unknown, yet well-known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. To give no offense and yet live those paradoxes, you have to patiently be able to deal with difficulties. By the power of God, without becoming angry. Thank God that His power is available to get us through these things. Ephesians chapter 4. This is the one on walking worthy. Verses 1 to 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Walking worthy of the vocation, walking worthy of, I was going to say of longsuffering, but it's worded different than that. It's walking worthy of the vocation with long-suffering. What is our vocation? What is our... The vocation is the invitation or calling. And what is our calling? It is to be ambassadors for His kingdom. And His kingdom is a kingdom of love, for bearing one another in love, being long-suffering in love. Now, does that mean that we... just embrace all people, sins and all? No, we don't. Rather, it means that you show love to people by pointing out where they're doing wrong and where and how they can find deliverance. And many times if we do that, if we have the courage to do that, we may well end up suffering for it. And sometimes even in the church, when we have the courage to say something and we admonish a brother, we may suffer for it. And I find in my own heart that is when long-suffering or forgiveness or patience is really put to the test. After all, he is my brother. He is a Christian, and he shouldn't do this to me. And so it's my duty to really straighten him out now. But rather, Ephesians here says that we need to forbear one another in love, with long-suffering, and then we will be on the path of walking worthy. It is His glorious power that strengthens us to bear this fruit. Colossians 1, verses 9 to 11. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. It is His glorious power that strengthens us to bear this fruit, as we have in the last verse that we read there. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering. And then what is the last two words there? With joyfulness. That can be difficult. And we cannot do it on our own. We cannot have patience and long-suffering without tapping into His glorious power. The flesh shrinks from bearing this fruit of long-suffering, and especially this one, The flesh does not like to suffer, and it doesn't like to do it joyfully, and it will not do it, or it doesn't like to do it patiently, and it will not do it joyfully. You have the fruits of love, joy, and peace, and the flesh even desires these. And it tries in all kinds of illicit ways to find them, love, joy, and peace. But they will never be found in illicit ways. And so to have love, joy, and peace also needs the power of God, because it will never be found illicitly, like I said. But long-suffering, the flesh shrinks from it, and it doesn't want anything to do with it. And then to do it with joyfully, thank God for his glorious power that strengthens us to bear this fruit with joyfulness. Turn over to Colossians 3. As the elect of God, we are able to put on this fruit. Verses 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Put on as the elect of God. And who are the elect of God? It's those that by his power put off the old man and put on the new man. They are then the elect of God. One definition in Webster's was chosen for salvation through divine mercy. And divine mercy is there for everyone. And so we're chosen. God draws us to him, and we choose to allow him to become our life, as we see in verse 4 of this chapter. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Christ is our life, and we allow him to become our life. Then we become the elect, so chosen by his divine mercy. All men have this opportunity and can become the elect. And when they do, then they can put on this fruit of long-suffering. So we have been forgiven, and we love him so much for it that we joyfully suffer the wrongs done to us by whoever it may be. And then in the work of spreading the gospel, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 5, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. In the work of spreading the gospel and trying to help others in their walk, long-suffering, it says here, is at least as important as our doctrine. And see the order of the words, with all long-suffering and doctrine. This is written to a minister, but I think it applies to all servants of God that are spreading his gospel and trying to advance his kingdom by his power. And we will be called on to suffer, as we have seen in scriptures. That doesn't mean we purposely bring it on, the suffering. That is also wrong. But if we truly from our heart and by his power are doing his will, it will bring resistance. The devil does not want people to be helped in the way of salvation. The two kingdoms are at war. But we know who will be victorious. And so we can joyfully do his work and exhort with all long-suffering. Thinking there was something I was missing in here in this part. I had said that that long-suffering is at least as important as doctrine. And if we're not willing to suffer and to be patient, our doctrine will be meaningless to those around us. That was the thought that I missed, to those we're teaching. There's then a reward in James 5. Verses 7 to 11. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. There's a reward for long-suffering, for allowing the Spirit fruit to grow in our lives. It is the coming of the Lord. What a beautiful thought to the child of God. And we will then be with him throughout all eternity when this fruit of long-suffering has matured in us, as it did in the prophets, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience, it says. And the example of Jesus himself that we looked at. And it talks here of the patience of Job. And his wife said to him, "Do you still retain your integrity?" This was the second time when he had the boils, after he had lost all his possessions, and then the devil comes and gives him boils. And she says, "Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as a foolish woman. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Patience of Job. And we see how the Lord ended that for Job and what all he did for Job afterwards. And we could look at that, but we won't take the time this evening. It says these people have seen, Job has seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He is pitiful, and not just pitiful, he is very pitiful and of tender mercy. To serve a God like that and allow the sufferings that he custom designs for us. Did you ever think about that? That some of the things we suffer are custom designed for God, by God, or in the case of Job, it was the devil that brought the suffering. But God told him just exactly how far he could go. And maybe that is the thought of him custom designing. He only allows the devil to go so far in sending us suffering. And he gives us the spirit fruit of long-suffering to be able to bear it. But these things to mold and shape a person into what God wants him to be, and then in the end to enjoy his compassion and tender mercy. Then to have the fruit of long-suffering mature within us and enjoy his extreme compassion. That is what very pitiful is. And his tender mercy. And all the while looking forward to enjoying it more fully in the end, which is really only the beginning, when we're finished here on earth with the suffering God allows to come. That is only the beginning of real life. So we see the extremely compassionate is what the Greek word translated very pitiful means. And we look at extreme, something is extreme, it's kind of negative. But with God being extremely compassionate, there's nothing negative about that. His compassion is so beyond our comprehension, as well as his justice and mercy and grace and all his other attributes, that extreme is not too strong a word for that. Let's remember God is a long-suffering God. That is why he continues to give people time to come to him. Jesus is our great example of long-suffering. And may we, by his grace, approve ourselves, walk worthy, avail ourselves of his glorious power to grow this fruit in our lives, put on this fruit as the elect, and learn it, continue to learn it as we spread the gospel, and then God will have a reward for us. May God bless us with his fruit, which is so undesirable to the flesh and yet so beautiful to God, that he continues to grow it in our lives by giving us the grace to endure. It will take all our lives to mature, but meanwhile, he allows us to enjoy his extreme compassion and mercy. May his name be praised forever.